last year, that game probably goes a lot differently. And
Yeah.
even though it was a little bit closer at times, I was still like something about the team and just the energy, like everyone was still pretty confident.
You're listening to the Fox Den Sports Podcast. Now, here are your hosts, Todd and his three sons, Kellen, Garrett, and Gannon.
We want to welcome back all of our friends, family, and foes to the Fox Den Sports Podcast, along with my two sons, Kellen and Garrett. My youngest son, Gannon, is in Germany, I think, right now, getting ready to go on a 10-day cruise on his European vacation. I guess it's his European school, whatever's going on.
Study abroad.
Yeah, it's more of like
study abroad. Okay, there you go.
Extravaganza.
Hopefully, he's studying.
Yeah, I don't see him doing much studying, but he's abroad.
Yeah, he sees B-Reel pop up. He's like, oh, I gotta pop up my computer real quick. And then,
anyway. Today's episode 91. What player do you think of that wore the jersey number 91?
I will go with the great Fletcher Cox, defensive tackle, Philadelphia Eagles, still playing, still dominating. I'd imagine future Hall of Famer. He's one of the more just consistent defensive linemen of the generation. It's one of those positions too, like you're never going to get a lot of those stats. Like you're not going to get a ton of the tackles, sacks, stuff like that. Especially on the inside, but he's caused a lot of havoc for the Cowboys and a lot of other teams for quite a while now.
Definitely one of Cali's favorite players, for sure. You never heard me say that to her?
Nope.
Oh. Well, you haven't been around much. Kellen, who do you got?
Dennis Rodman. One of my favorites just because he's just so crazy, but just he wasn't always up one up that out there putting up points, but his rebounding was just ridiculous. He did what needed to be done. He knew his place on that team, and he dominated at it, and it was insane.
Kind of like a Fletcher Cox, you know, stats weren't always there, but the performance was otherworldly.
His presence was,
you know, his presence was
man.
Felt.
He took out the other team's best, you know, one of their best players. He was incredible defense, incredible rebounder. Yeah, he'd score every once in a while, but who cares? He got in their people's heads. He was a crazy dude. Like, he would get in their heads, and they would get all upset with him and try to fight and all that. I couldn't stand him when he was with Detroit, and obviously loved him with the Bulls, and then I know he bounced around a little bit after that. But he was incredible. I know he went to college here in Oklahoma. I think Durant. Is it Southwest Oklahoma? I don't remember. I'd have to think.
I didn't even know that, honestly.
Yeah, he went to school here in Oklahoma. So it's pretty cool. All the good ones from Oklahoma. Well, number 91 to me, Kevin Green, one of the Hall of Famers. Man, I think he passed away too, if I'm not 100%. I think he passed away a few years ago. But he was an incredible football player. Played for the Steelers, the Rams, Carolina Panthers, linebacker, a sack machine. Really, really good football player. He was just a incredible player. I mean, I really loved watching him, but yeah, I'm rest in peace to Kevin Green.
Died in 2020.
Is that what it was? Yeah. It was right after he got into the Hall of Fame, too. It was like a year or two afterwards. So it's unfortunate. Very good player. Well, today is we're recording this podcast on 9/11. So it's our 91st episode. Very interesting. I know 9/11 happened. We were living in Tulsa, and at the time, we were in between houses, so we were staying with your grandparents, Nan and Papa, and you guys were little. Kellen was, what, 4? Garrett was like 1.5, so you're getting ready to be 5, I think, Kellen, I think is what you were getting ready to be, because it was 2001, 2001.
I mean, I'd have been 4.5.
Yeah, 4.5, yeah.
About halfway there.
So, and then Mom had just left to take you guys to Sunshine School. And I was closing that night. And I get a phone call from Papa, and he said, hey, turn on the TV. They said a plane crashed into the World Trade Center. I was like, that's weird. And so I turned it on, and I guess that was right after the second one had hit. But you guys were a little bitty. I know I just remember a manager from Sam's called me crying, and I thought it was about 9/11, but it's because she was a bakery manager, couldn't get some stuff done or something. I'm like, really? So, I mean, I came in early, and then there was a vice president there touring, and I'm like, my GM wasn't there. I'm like, what is going on? Like, we had a big national, disaster, and you guys are in here, get lost. So eventually they did leave, but it was just aggravating. But we're going to talk about, I know it's been a couple days since the OU game, OU and SMU. There's a lot of different things to talk about, but I want to talk, I guess, initially about thought processes in the game, because I know there's a lot of people thinking different things. What are your all's thoughts from the SMU game?
I think number one, everyone said it, like, last year that game probably goes a lot differently. And
yeah,
even though it was a little bit closer at times, I was still like, something about the team and just the energy, like everyone was still pretty confident, like in the stadium. I don't think a whole lot of people were super nervous about losing that game, even whenever it got to 14-11. Like, it was pretty easy going. I think we were in command the whole time. It was more of just controlling the clock and being conservative with the ball, which I know is what Lebby said their game plan was, is just be conservative, be smart, hit the basics, and get a win out of it. But now, sure, I would say the biggest thing I've noticed is just, even though it was pretty close down the stretch, it doesn't seem like a whole lot of people were too nervous about it, which last year, like, I mean, that, yeah, would have been completely different story.
Correct.
I was never, not once did I think we were going to lose that game. What I was more thinking about was the future. Like, hey, we're not playing perfectly right now. What's that mean for future games? I was like, we're definitely dropping in the rankings this week, even if it's just a little bit, because we're just not playing this team well. I think our defense played pretty good. I mean, there were drives that they let them get a little further than I would have liked, but we always pulled through. By the end, when they had that scoring drive, we had two costly penalties. But the way I saw it, our defense was on the field the whole time. Like, they were getting tired, I'm sure, just because they were there the whole time. Our offense wasn't doing anything. Never once did I think we were going to lose the game. I wish our offense could have dominated a little bit more, cleaned up those penalties, because we had two penalties in one drive that gave them a touchdown. Next drive, we have a penalty that cost us a touchdown. We end up still scoring, but cost us a great touchdown because of ineligible man downfield or whatever.
Yeah.
Not once did I think we were going to lose that game, but I was just more thinking about, like, when I'm sitting there watching another screen with Texas beating Alabama, and I'm like, we're not destroying SMU right now. So it gets you a little concerned, but 2-0 is 2-0.
Yeah.
We're still better than we were last year. Cause like you guys said, last year, I would have been a little nervous in that game. But this year I knew we were going to pull it out. It's just how we did it.
Yeah, I think last year early on I wouldn't have been as nervous, because I thought we were a lot better than what we actually were. But towards the end of the year, like, that's a game we would have lost most likely. We didn't have the talent and just the moxie of the team to try to come back and complete the win. I wasn't ever concerned about losing the game. I got a little bit concerned there when it got to be, I think it was 14-11, but, and you know, we'll kind of talk about that here in a little bit, but I know there's OU fans out there flipping out right now. Let me explain something to you. Relax. All right. Just relax. They went into this ball game, in my opinion, to be conservative. Lebby said today he was too conservative in the game. He says that obviously after the fact. Quit worrying about the fans. You know, I don't think he is, but I'm just saying the fans need to just chill out and stop. I think he had a game plan to go in there to try to run the ball as much as possible. You know, Dylan Gabriel did not have an incredible passing game of any sorts. I know there were some drops along the way. I know Freeman and Stoops is pretty sure-handed. He dropped a pass for sure, I remember. But I think the team was fine, and I think they were trying to do whatever they could to run the football, to try to get as much running as they could. And I think that's just to try to get, it's like a practice. It honestly is, except for it's practicing and it is a game against another team. I truly believe that. And here's another thing I thought today, because I hear he also said today that Barnes and Sawchuk will be playing a little bit more going forward. I personally think that they kept those guys out a little bit to try to keep them healthy and get these other two, Walker and Marcus Major, the football more. I think you're going to see a lot more Sawchuk. I think you're going to see a lot more Barnes going forward, because I think they're probably two of the better running backs on the team. But relax, Sooner fans. It's going to be okay. We're not going to win the national championship, most likely. It could. Anything could happen. But hopefully we'll still be there for, a Big 12 championship game. I mean, you never know, but I'm just telling you, relax. These guys know what they're doing. These first couple of games, even the Tulsa game is going to be the Tulsa game. We should dominate. We should dominate and win that game. Anything could happen. Yes, I understand that, but we should dominate that game. I think you're still going to see some different players playing to try to get more reps, more practices for all these players. Try to get, get that line to get a little bit better, opening up the lines and make some holes for the running backs. I think we're fine. I truly do.
You remember what happened the last time we played Tulsa?
Tell me.
The Baker Mayfield. I saw some. Yeah, Baker six touchdowns.
Six total
like
touchdowns.
500 total yards.
80 rushing yards, like 400 something passing. Like, I'm trying to find it. I thought I retweeted it. 487 passing yards, 85 rushing yards, six total touchdowns. Just dismantled them. Yeah. The good old days right there.
Seriously. I think the biggest difference we're seeing is, like, if our offense would have struggled that much in the Riley era, like, the defense wasn't going to bail us out. The defense never bailed us out with him, over the helm. But Venables, we've seen multiple times in just the last 2 years where our defense single-handedly keeps us in the games. 11 points for that offense is absolutely insane. I don't think enough people are really talking about it. That holding them to 11 is a very, very big win. Like, even though the line was us like 17 or 16 and a half, that was more so them scoring like 21 and we were supposed to score like 40. But instead, we go and hold them to 11, don't have a whole lot of offensive production, but that was the game plan. I will say I do think there was a lot more injuries than I would like to see. Nothing like major, but still, like, just last couple of weeks there's a little bit more guys dropping like that. I would hope to, but
originally, right? Go ahead. What were you gonna say?
Well, like the worst play that I remember was when they went for two and he just launched it up there and our guy just got all turned around.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is about to be picked. And then he just hit our guy's back is turned and has no clue what's going on.
No, I agree.
It looked like there was slightly a push off, but they didn't show a replay in the stadium.
I told Taylor, because Taylor was a little confused by the pass interference calls that kept getting called against us. Like the one in the end zone that got him to the one. She's like, how is that? And I was like, if that was a pass interference, I feel like that guy's push off should have been a pass interference. But it's whatever. We won the game. That's all that matters in the end. But just a little, thought it was a little strange.
No, I agree 100%. Peyton Bowen. I thought he played a very good game. He had that block. Who was the other player with him? They both blocked that punt.
I think it was like Dolby or something like that. I don't remember. I saw the video or clip earlier, but what I love about him too is anytime they mention his name, Venables and Roof, they always have like they try and hold back a smile, like a grin.
Yeah.
But like they can't help breaking it just a little bit because you can tell they are very excited to have him on their team.
He's incredible. He is going to be fantastic. I know he had a pass interference call that could have gone either way. Honestly, it was right in the end zone. He did have his hand on the backside. Could have gone honestly either way, but he came over to the sidelines and Venables met him right there and they were talking and Venables didn't, he kind of had this not smile, but just kind of like little smirk, and they talked. So obviously, you know, Venables is coaching him right there on the spot. It's pretty cool. Pretty good to see. I don't know if you guys saw Aaron Rodgers just got taken out. He's hurt.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. Got sacked.
He got hit pretty hard.
Yeah. Interesting.
Lance is telling me it doesn't look like it should be that bad, but it was weird that he needed help getting off the field.
Yeah, that's concerning. So, yeah, but moving on. And then another team, a player, Danny Stetson was the player of the game, if you ask me.
Best game of his career.
All over the place. He had that fumble recovery.
Only sack of the game.
Yeah, he sacked, and then he was pressured.
Almost 20 total.
Dude was all over the place. All over the place. They kept saying his name, and I took some notes down, and his name kept coming up on my notes, and he was just fantastic. Really, yeah. Really liked him a lot.
Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, and if I'm not mistaken, National Defensive Player of the Week.
Really?
So.
I just know I'm still – there's obviously there's going to be some concern at some point when you play some of these better teams. You've got – there were some open receivers. I know Kenny Walker? Is that how you pronounce his name?
Oh, the guy who came in for Kentry Williams?
Yeah. He gave up a big play, a huge play early on, and that's, I think, on the same drive that they – may have been on the same drive they missed that field goal because I know they missed one. But they just seemed – I know a lot of people are upset running the football, but, hey, here's the thing. You got out of there. You got out of there with a win. There's a little bit of resilience. Team knows what they're doing. They're going to be continue to work on it. I think Texas will be tough. Texas just beat Alabama. Texas looked pretty good, but I will tell you one thing. Alabama is not the same right now. Now, they could be towards the end of the year. I don't know the answer to that, but their quarterback wasn't very good. He did complete like a big, you know, pass play, but I think the guy, if I'm not mistaken, was completely wide open. But at the same time, you can't take away. It was still a big win because it was in Alabama. Great, great win for Texas. And honestly, come out with that win, you got two teams like us to, or, you know, it's just a battle for sure going into the SEC. Man, fantastic. I can't wait.
That's what, like Gary said, like it was a rare time when we're rooting for Texas, but the reasoning made sense. One, it shows Texas is for sure ready for the SEC. I do agree Alabama's not what they were. I don't think they were number four, and I don't think Texas should be number four yet. But still a great win for Texas. If we can come out there and win, or at least make it close, make it a game, it shows that we're like a lot closer than people thought we were to being prepared for the SEC. And I just don't think the SEC is what it was.
No.
I think Georgia is still top tier, but like it's not like you got Georgia and Alabama running college football anymore. So like I think we're after last year, I feel like we're a couple of years ahead of what we anticipated. And Texas for sure is in a good spot, but
yeah, they're in a good spot.
It was rare that I was rooting for Texas. So like they played a good game. It was crazy. I couldn't believe it, honestly.
Yeah, but to the SEC thing being not really as dominant anymore. This is the first year in who knows how long that majority of their teams scheduled a Power Five out of conference game within the first 2 weeks. And if I'm not mistaken, they're like 1-5 or like 1-6 in those games. Like they do not have a good record against any Power Five teams right now in the SEC. But to the point of Kellen also saying, you know, OU, Texas, SEC ready. I think as a whole, both teams are ready. It's just going to come back to both teams going to have first-year starters at quarterback going into that transition.
Sure.
Which is not ideal, I will say. Because obviously I think Jackson Arnold's the guy. But at the same time, wouldn't be shocked if he loses three games in his first year in the SEC as a first-year starter. Same with Arch Manning, even if they have a really good team. Like, going into it, you still can't expect the freshman sophomore first time starter to go into the SEC and win dominate 10 plus games.
Yeah. It's kind of why I wish we just go ahead and start Jackson Arnold. Like he's literally better at everything. We put him in for running plays. He has a stronger arm, so like why not just get him in there, get him some reps. Like He looked good when he threw it. I really don't like the way we play him when we throw him in, because last game, every time he came in, he was running it up the middle. They knew what to expect every time. They need to get him out there throwing more. I just wish he'd start.
But, you know, hopefully Sarkisian's not watching this episode or anything. Yeah. But yeah. I guarantee you they're just waiting for that game before he sits there and launches one.
Yeah.
I bet you could see it now. He'll do one of those plays, run it up the middle. Next play, he'll look like he's passing, and then he'll run up the middle. Next play, bomb. Like, they'll have that is the game that both teams bring out.
Yeah.
Creative plays that you're like, where has that been?
That's why we kind of play conservative. We wait until those big games.
So we're doing, we do it. Yeah. You wait until that game against Texas. Only thing is, Texas just played Alabama. I doubt that they showed everything.
I wouldn't blame them, but I guarantee you they showed majority of it.
Yeah, I wouldn't blame
them. I mean, it makes sense.
I wouldn't blame them at all.
Like, that's their big game of the year. Like, OU's still a rivalry, but you're still playing Alabama, who's known as the powerhouse. They were number four, so, like, clearly you want to go out there and beat that team.
That win on your schedule is more important than Oklahoma, even. Late in the season, that's going to be a huge difference maker on who's in, who's out of the playoffs. But, yeah, no, 100%. I do think one thing that's going to stink is, like, I would bet both teams are going to be undefeated going into the matchup of Red River. But I think we're still going to probably be like 12 or 13 because nobody's going to have us very high with our wins. And I think these other teams got some pretty easy
games better, though,
coming up.
If we're top 10,
I'm completely fine with that too, by the way.
If we're top 10, we lose that game. If we're like 15, I'm not saying we guaranteed win, but I think we got a better shot. We're not overconfident in everything.
Here's the thing about Texas, the big win against Alabama, but they're the kind of team in the past. I don't know whether or not this is the same team that would then turn around and lose to like a Kansas or a, Texas Tech or somebody like that. So we'll see. It's just, it'll be fun. There's still some football to be played. I know Texas, let's look. I have their schedule up just here. I know they play Wyoming, then they play Baylor, then they play KU. So they play Wyoming in at Texas. They go to Baylor, which Baylor's not the same team they were a few years back. Kansas, honestly, I mean, it's in Texas, so I think Texas will still win. But Kansas is a lot better than they have been, for sure. But it'll be fun. It'll be fun to see when we match up with them. Hopefully, we can get by Tulsa and get by Cincinnati and Iowa State as well. So it'll be interesting to see. I can't wait. I just know we've got to clean up some of those just 15-yard penalties, the defensive penalties, pass interferences. I should have wrote down. I mean, I have it down quite a bit, but how many fourth downs did both teams go for and make and not make? And all, there was a lot of that. And that's where I'm just like, man, like, Texas is going to be, it's going to be tough, but it'll be fun.
But yeah, you give Texas a four downs every time. That's not going to be very, very fun.
Correct. And we've got to get some pressure on the quarterback. I understand this day and age, you know, three-step drop and quick pass or whatever, and all that, I get it. But we've got to get some pressure on the quarterback to take some pressure off of the defensive backs as well. I know Ethan Downs, we need him to get going. Kanick, he had a decent game. I think he could have had a little bit better of a game, but I still think he'll be all right. And then who's the guy that hurt his – was in a walking boot? McCullough? How do you say that last name? I don't know.
McCullough.
Yeah. Hopefully he'll be
ready. He'll be back.
Yeah, he'll be back.
Yeah, he'll be back.
So he'll be good to go. I mean, I thought Key Lawrence played really well. I think Bowman.
Billy Bowman.
Billy Bowman. Yeah. He let a guy get behind him one point, and then he's the guy that, like, he kind of waited on that interception, right? And if he would have just attacked the ball, I think he picks that off, or at least both of them collide at the same time. But I just like to see a little bit more there. But hey, again, you know, I don't want to sit there and think we're going to win the national title. We're not as good as, you know, Arkansas State 73-0. Of course, that was Arkansas State, but we're not, as some people think, as bad. What, 28-11 against SMU. We covered, 16.5 point favorite, and we won by 17. And here's the thing. I don't care if we go 14-0 and we outscore every game by 1 point. Don't care. You win the game. I'm not too I say that. It's a lot easier said than done, but just win. That's all you want to do. Compete, win. And Jackson Arnold, I think he's more talented than Gabriel, but I still truly think Gabriel probably gives us the best chance to win right now. I guess I would be, it's just too much. I think they're playing Arnold on those little plays right now to try to keep him a little bit happy. You don't want to upset him. So I think they're going to have some packages for him for sure out there to make sure he's happy. But Adrian Peterson's come out game was against Texas. Maybe that's Arnold's come out game too. I don't know the answer to that, but still, I still think Dylan Gabriel, the leadership he provides, cause I think he's a fantastic leader. Don't think he's got the arm strength. I think he sometimes takes off a little bit quicker than he maybe he should, but I still think he probably gives us a better chance. I'm not sure.
The only thing I have to say to that is, would you rather have the better chance of doing whatever this year or go into next year better because Jackson Arnold played this year?
I guess there's no guarantee. That's the only thing. Cause I mean, it's easy. I mean, I want to win both of them. I don't know.
And I really think with Jackson Arnold in the playing, the only Big 12 team that would be better than us is Texas. I still think we're in the Big 12 championship.
I think if we play K-State, that would be interesting. But since we don't play him, we could play him in the Big 12 championship game if that comes down to it. But you guys know as well as I do, there'll be another one or two games other than Texas that we just don't seem to have it as much.
OSU.
OSU.
You just never know.
Could be Cincinnati, BYU, UCF. I don't know. There's always couple of those games each year that we lose games that we honestly should win. I think we're talented. I think we're more talented than a lot of these other teams, but we'll see. That's what I love about football is just the competition. I believe in the coaching staff for sure. So I expect to see great things. Garrett, what do you think?
I think we'll get to see a good amount of Jackson Arnold this coming weekend.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be one where they'll pull Gabriel pretty early again, give all those guys a lot more reps, but maybe a little bit more consistent with who's in the game. Again, at that second string to solidify who's actually going to be playing later on if there were to be an injury. Because I know corner, we're still putting 3-4 guys out. Linebacker, we got like 5 or 6 guys that are playing a game. Safety, we have 4 or 5. Like, we're rotating, which I like the rotation, keeps them fresh. But
yeah,
I also would like to see some guys get, you know, make their staple and be like, hey, like, this is my spot.
I think that's coming up, and I think that'll be Cincinnati. I really do. I think this game here, I wouldn't play Davis Bevel. I don't care if it's 100-0. I wouldn't even play him. I wouldn't play General Booty.
He's injured, but
don't care. Well, yeah, you're right. That's true. I wouldn't play Booty either. I just wouldn't. I would like get Arnold as many reps as I possibly can. And I understand the injury risk and injury factor, but man, this guy's special. And we need to just get some of it's got to be some confidence, right? I think some of it's just get some of that confidence. And I think he'll be fine, man. Oh my goodness. Please, please, please make it happen. We'll see. We shall see. Here's another question I have. Here's something that's been going around quite a bit this week since the game. Art Briles was down on the field. He's Jeff Lebby's father-in-law. So his daughter is Jeff Lebby's wife. He's the grandfather to, you know, two of the two kids of Lebby's. Down on the field, and a lot of people in Oklahoma pretty upset with that. What are your initial thoughts? And, you know, now that we've had, you know, what is it, 48 hours to think about it, what are your thoughts on that?
I do not think he should have been on the field, right. But I think that's about all you can really say. Like,
he should have known better.
No, and that's on both of them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I do think we should have kept him either in the stands or a suite or wherever he was watching the game at. I don't think we should sit there and kick him out or keep him out of the stadium like everyone says. Like, dude, you're telling me all our boosters are clean too? Like, come on. Like,
I don't know.
All that stadium is probably built on who knows what. But, yeah, he made some mistakes. We all, everyone, fans, Venables, Castiglione, everyone knew that that was going to be a big thing whenever we brought Lebby at.
Yes.
And based on Lebby's opening statement of the press conference today and Castiglione's statement on Saturday night or whatever, like, it sounded like there were rules in place and Lebby didn't follow those, which, I mean, is unfortunate. But I think now that he's seen the circumstances, or not the circumstances, but the consequences of, consequences. I think he's going to be a little bit more careful about inviting him around the game from now on.
Kellen, you got anything? Not really.
I mean, basically what Gary said. I mean, the statements they made today, I mean, I think any of us could have predicted exactly what they were going to say. Like, there's really not much more to say. I don't think he should be there, but let's not get distracted. Let's focus on football now.
I will say just really quick, I've been seeing a lot too that everyone who's defending Lebby, maybe not defending Lebby, but more so just wanting to move past it. Like, oh, you guys realize if Lebby's gone, Jackson Arnold's gone too. Like, nah, not at all. That doesn't mean that at all. Like, Arnold, yes, Lebby was obviously a huge factor in Arnold coming here, but it's not end all be all. Like, this, what other opportunities is he going to get later on? Like, most of these big Power 5 teams already have their quarterbacks for the future. So, if Lebby were to leave Arnold, I do not think Arnold would even bat an eye at it. Like, he'd be like, all right, who's my next guy? Like,
hope not. Yeah.
What would he do if he went to USC next year?
No shot. Competing with Caleb for the starting job. So,
yeah, we'll see about that.
We'll see who gets number one. Cardinals looked like they wanted it yesterday.
Yeah, we'll see.
What the Cardinals looked like they wanted to win yesterday. A little surprise.
For sure. Here's my thoughts. Okay, so he shouldn't have been on the field. From what it sounds like, Lebby knew, like, they didn't want him on the field on the front side, and I don't know whether or not he, you know, said, hey, you can't be here. Well, I have no idea. But bottom line is, I see both sides. I mean, it is his it's his father-in-law and the grandkids and all that. I understand all that, but here's the thing. Castiglione didn't know, and, you know, it was a little bit of a black eye for Oklahoma. Sure, okay, that's fine, but move on. The problem I have is you got the media that just keeps digging at it and just wanting to just talk about it. You got that new, sellout crowd. Is that what it is? You know, with Barry Trammell. You've got Sam Mays. You got Todd Lisenby. You've got Jenny Carlson. You got all these folks that used to be like with the Daily Oklahoman and sports radio and all that stuff. And I respect all of them, but give it up. I know you're trying to get stories for this new startup. Just stop. It's over. It's done. Lebby apologized. I don't think we're going to see it happen again. I'm guaranteeing that Lebby won't be back next year. Guarantee he won't be back next year. Cause I think he's ticked. You saw in a statement today. I think he felt a little bit uncomfortable, but I think he's probably upset about it. To be honest with you, I think he probably understands, but it's still like his, you know, it's his father-in-law. Here's the thing. You've got Bryle's son, Kendall. I think he's the offensive coordinator at TCU. I don't know if there's anything in place there for, you know, to make sure he doesn't come around. And I get it. What he did, and if, you know, folks want to see, make sure you go take a look at it and see what all transpired. It looked like he tried to do some cover-up at Baylor for football players raping student women, girls, try to cover it up and acted like at first, this is what I'm under the impression of, acted at first like nothing happened. And he put a lawsuit out there after the firing, but then they started looking and digging into some text messages that came from him. And then all of a sudden he drops the lawsuit and all that. Here's the thing, despicable. Yes, I agree. You know, Castiglione can't stop him from wearing a no-you shirt. Venables can't stop him. He can wear a daggum OU shirt if he wants to. Doesn't mean that anybody agrees. Doesn't mean with it at all, but let's just move on. There are so many, like you said a minute ago, who knows about some boosters? I have no idea. There's fans out there. You know, there's bad fans. I mean, it's all over the place in every single school. But he just happened, you know, I hate to say it, he got caught, but what have you. But, I mean, it was crazy of what went on. And it's been, has it been 10 years? Is it 10, 12 years, something like that?
Over a decade, yeah.
Yeah, so, but, and I'm not saying I'm excusing. I'm just saying he apologized. Let's move on. End of story. I know some of these places are wanting to kick up some stories and let's get some conversation going and stop. It's over. Move on. Which we probably need to move on. Also. Go ahead.
Why? But like, why would Lebby, like, is he, would he, why would he be mad at OU? Like, it's OU's, he should be done with it too.
If
it's
you watch like, again, his press conference, like he makes that statement two questions later and he says, before his statement that's all he's going to say on the topic. Like two questions later, someone asks him about it and he's like, that's all I'm going to say. And then two more questions later. And then he's just like shaking his, like you can, he's ticked because
yeah,
it's going further than it should. And I think he's upset with how like mad people are at Lebby at the situation. Yeah. And he's just like, to him, like that's just a family member that everyone's getting mad at that he brought to the game. It's like, and Lebby, again, I don't obviously agree with anything he did, but Lebby was one of the bigger supporters of Art Briles at the beginning anyways. So like for whatever reason, Lebby might think he's innocent still. So that's another thing.
You're right. And here's the thing. Dean Blevins let off tonight and said, Oklahoma decided to keep Jeff Lebby and not fire him. He almost got fired over all this. I'm just telling you, as crazy as it sounds, he almost got let go because of this. He's not happy. Not saying he agrees with any of it or whatever. I'm just saying from the family side of it, he's not happy. He won't be back next year. I'm just telling you right here now, he won't be back. Well, we want to appreciate all of our listeners for listening to our Fox Den Sports podcast. It's been a great time. And we know you, you have busy days and you got a lot going on, but you took the time out to listen to our podcast. Just want to remind you of one thing, that iron sharpens iron.
Please stay safe.
Be savage and not average.
And remember to join the skulk. And until next time, good.
Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to the Fox Den Sports Podcast with Todd, Kellen, Garrett, and Gannon. Find us on Facebook at Fox Den Sports. That's Fox with two X's. Drop us an email at foxdensports@yahoo.com. And be sure to share this podcast with other sports fans in your life. This has been Fox Den Sports.